thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. Sometimes.
Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, everybody, it's time once again to wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up, get up, get up, get out of bed. 11 o'clock on the East Coast. What's wrong with you? Get out of bed right now. There's things going on, things to see, people to do. And we got to be active. We got to be moving. We got to get up because you got to get your blood pumping. You got to get your blood pumping. You got to get your brain working because the only way you're going to be able to fight is to wake up. The country's been asleep for 30 years. And it's time to wake the hell up. How the hell are you, ladies and gentlemen? How is everybody doing today? It is a beautiful, beautiful sunny day here in Chicago, Chi-Town, the Windy City, that Pottlin' Town. All the different names people have. By the way, Windy City in Chicago does not refer to the fact that there is a lot of wind here. And there is a lot of wind here. It refers to the fact that our politicians are very long-winded. I discovered that fairly recently. How is everybody doing today? And, you know, I'm looking out my window on the west, and there's a car for People's Gas, the gas company that provides the service. And then apparently, the idiots locked themselves out of their car. So there's three or four of them in there with hangers and whatnot trying to break. At least I hope that it's the People's Gas people that are trying to break. Maybe I should call the cops. No, I'm pretty sure it's them. They have People's Gas shirts on. But they lock themselves out of their car, so they're trying to get in there. Oh, the wonders of the modern world. The wonders of the modern world. Hey, yesterday, you know, it was supposed to be raining today. It was supposed to be raining yesterday, and it didn't. And yesterday, of course, was the 4th of July. And by the way, I hope everybody had a good 4th of July holiday. I hope you had some nice barbecue. I hope there was some good weather where you're at. My roommate and I and a couple of his who are very nice people, nice couple that he's known since he was a kid, since he was going to school. We went down to what they call the Taste of Chicago, which is where a whole bunch of different restaurants come down. It's I forget the name of the park. Is it Rogers Park? I think it's Rogers Park. It's where that big fountain is. They got this big famous fountain. It's the fountain you see if you watch Married with Children, the big fountain that comes out at the beginning. It's over in that area. At any rate, they got all the restaurants set up, and we didn't even see a quarter of it. It was so much of it. And everybody goes down, and they got food there, and people just walk around the lake, and they walk around the park, and they just have a good old time and relax. And we went down there, and God, I pigged out. I pigged out. What I was doing mostly was just doing little things of the stuff that they had, or was trying to anyway, because it was A, cheaper, and B, because you want to get taste as much as you can from everything. And I had a breaded beef sandwich, breaded beef, and it was with you know, breading and with tomato sauce. It was really good. I had an Italian sausage sub. I had a great egg roll from this Chinese place. I was like, oh my God, this is the best egg roll I've had in ages. And we had a turkey leg. There's this place called Helen's Legs that serves turkey legs. And this whole and these are big turkeys. These are Schwarzenegger turkeys. Okay, these are heavily steroidized. Harry Bonds, Jason Giambi, Rafael Palmeiro turkey legs. Okay, really, really big. And they dip them in barbecue sauce. Although you can get them without barbecue sauce, which is what we did. Not because we don't like barbecue sauce, but because it's just too messy. It's too messy. I love barbecue stuff. But it is messy to eat, and I don't mind eating it at home. That's one thing. But out in public, no. Maybe in like a restaurant where I can go in a booth and hide somewhere. Because the last thing you want to see is a little fat guy stuffing his face with barbecue sauce all over him. That's really bleh. But it was really, really good. And then we sat down and had a little wine garden there, and we sat down for a while. And then we went back home because we were too full. Everybody was too full. It was a little pricier than you would expect. I laid out $21 total, and you got tickets. You got to buy tickets, like if you go to Oktoberfest or something. You get tickets, and it was 11 tickets for $7, and the sample stuff was 3 tickets. So we're talking about maybe $2 or $3, and you get a little thing. But you know, it was pretty good, I was very happy with it, and I was glad I went out. You know, and of course, having gone out and spending the day doing real life stuff, I didn't read any of my wedge types. I just avoided it all for a day or so, and then I come back this morning when I get up, and I'm trying to read through the sites, and there's so much more news, so many things going on, that it just boggles my mind. Oh, they got the car out. They got it open. Either that or the cops just came and dragged them away or something and took the car with them. I love my neighborhood. I really, really do. There was so many. And, you know, I got home late, and I had been up for a long time because I work from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. And we were expecting to go out, and I was going to try to go to sleep when I got home from work yesterday, but I was all kind of fired up. So I wound up not doing it, and I wound up staying awake through the whole day, and I finally got to sleep around 10 o'clock last night while all the fireworks were going on. There were a lot of fireworks here, and it was just, but I had been up for something like 29 straight hours. So I was tired. I was really tired. And I just got up about 9 o'clock or so, and I started to read through some of the sites, and it's like, I can't, it's too much. It's too much. There were a couple items that came screaming out to me, some emails from Carol Kay of MakeThemAccountable.com that I'm going to be talking about. But I wanted to talk about this here, about the 4th of July and about the holiday and about how everybody was doing things on the holiday. And, you know, nobody wanted, you know, while, even though it's Independence Day and it's really, you might say that it's kind of a political holiday, or at least it's a patriotic holiday, you know, nobody was really talking about, you know, or anything like that. Everybody was just going out and having a good time. And the closest thing I saw to any kind of political protest was there was a guy selling a whole bunch of marijuana-related T-shirts. Like they had like a KFC logo, but instead of KFC, it's a THC, and things like that. So, and I was thinking about that this morning, and you know, and people talk about you know, we're not going into fascism and stuff like that. Of course, and of course we are. We do have a fascist government right now. It's uniquely American form of fascism, and a lot of people, you know, and I've said this before, a lot of people equate fascism with Nazism, and it's not necessarily the same thing. Nazism was its own little version of fascism, and for most people in Germany, and it didn't happen overnight. I mean, you watch these documents, and you think like it happened. Oh, you know, one week Hitler took over, and next week, you know, all. No, it didn't happen overnight. It was a slow, steady progression. Hitler and the Nazis took over in the late 20s. And it wasn't until, like, you know, the mid-late 30s. And they were building up to that point. I mean, they were around since the early 20s and stuff. So it took a while for them to build up. It didn't happen overnight. And even during the height of the Nazi regime, when the wars were going on, I'm sure they still had Oktoberfest, which is the big German holiday. And I'm sure that if most people went there, they just, let's just have some beer and some bratwurst and relax and sing and enjoy ourselves. And not think about this. And I'm sure there were a lot of people who were like that. They don't want to know about it. We don't want to dig about it. Let's just go out there. And so I'm sure that, you know, even as America sinks slower and slower into the slime that is Republican version of America, that these things will still go on. I mean, we'll still have 4th of July. No one's going to stop us from doing that. We're still going to have Christmas. We're still going to have a little bit of, you know, all that stuff that people are just going to do because, you know, we've been doing it and because Americans love to have fun more than anything else. But that doesn't mean that there aren't things that are going on that we need to constantly address and constantly be aware of. And I just missed one day's worth of news and I just can't keep up. I just can't keep up. And I have, I didn't have time to read all of the sites. I just kind of blandished through them and deleted a couple of pages that I want to see later and just try to concentrate on some of the things that I want to talk about today. But, you know, for most people, life doesn't change that much. You know, fascism was kind of like that, although I'm sure people had their problems at work and stuff like that. And obviously everybody was affected to a certain extent. But I'm sure a lot of people were like, well, you know, that's just the way it is. There's a war going on and all that stuff. Ooh. Now, under communism, everybody was affected because, you know, if you weren't directly involved with politics, you had to wait online to get a loaf of bread or something like that. It was not a pleasant thing. I'm not a communist, ladies and gentlemen. And people, you know, all the right-wingers, and they talk about us liberals, say, oh, you're a liberal, we're a bunch of communists and socialists and all of that. And they're a bunch of BS artists, and we know that. There's a huge difference between liberalism and communism, and I'm not a communist. And I don't want to see that happen to this country, but it could happen. Maybe not communism, but something really nasty could happen if enough people get pissed off. And what I talk about when I talk about, you know, going out in the streets and stuff like that is that I'm trying to avoid that. I'm hoping that we can solve these issues by peaceful political process. But if they can't, then, you know, if we have to take to the streets, then I guess there's no other choice. Because I don't want things to continue. Because the alternative is America being, you know, shunned by the rest of the world economically and perhaps attacked militarily eventually. If it's felt that the United States is enough of a threat. And, of course, if that were to happen, then it's a good possibility that we will see the end of the world if we have a crazy enough president that he's going to launch nukes. And we already got a president and a vice president administration who's crazy enough to declare war on a country that never did anything to us just because they've got something they want. And whatever their real reasons are, you know what? I gave up giving up their real reasons. I gave up trying to figure out their real reasons. Just get them the hell out of office. Just get them the hell out of office. That's, you know, let's put everything else aside. Let's put all the psychoanalysis, let's put all the legal, you know, wrangling over, you know, constitutional principles. There are ways of doing that without getting nuanced, without getting details. Get him the hell out of office first. Put us in a situation where when we have these arguments over legal doctrine and how to proceed and stuff like that, we can have them in an atmosphere where you don't have an oppressive group of people running the country who it's going to take pretty much armed force to remove from office. Let's get to that point first where we can have these arguments. And then we can nuance, and then we can talk about all these things that need to be talked about. And then we can try to figure out the psychology. Why are these people doing this? Why do people who have so much money and so much power to begin with always want to grab more? Let's try to do that in an atmosphere that at least allows us to have the argument without worrying about whether there's going to be a knock on the door at 3 in the morning and whether we're going to get tossed in jail without a warrant because we've been declared enemy combatants. While, you know, administration officials who commit real crimes get pardoned. Now, I've got some stuff to talk about, but as always, I like to talk to people. So, if you want to call me up, if you want to talk to me, and if you have your, you know, whatever it is you want to talk about, I'm always open to hear anything. Just give me a call, 304-658-5912, 304-658-5912. In the meantime, let's take a little break, and we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans? Tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great. Quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed.
And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, 1-304-658-5912, 1-304-658-5912. If you have anything you want to talk to me about, please feel free, give me a call, we'll have a conversation about it. I'm kind of in a low-key mood today, just kind of coming down, off the holiday and just kind of relaxing and just kind of and waking up and just kind of getting back into the day. So, America Back on Track follows our show, and that's the first time I've actually heard the promo for their show. Tony Seaton is the host on that. So, at any rate. ELO in the Head On Radio chat Network chat room. And by the way, if you want to join us in the chat room, you can go to headonradionetwork.com, click on the live chat link, and then click a little below that, and it'll take you to the chat room where you will see some of the smartest people on the Internet. Who's there? Our good friend Bob Kincaid, who's producing the show today, is there. Myself, ELO, John Fox, the host of Foxed Up. Peter Godbold is there. Ray Hinckley, our good friend Ray from UnreportedNews.net, Suzanne, and the Smart Mom. We're all there hanging out, talking about what I'm talking about, and just yakking away. And TSM, no, not TSM, Suzanne brought up that they don't have to knock anymore. They just kind of ELO, excuse me, it was ELO who said that. I had to scroll up to find it. ELO said that they don't have to knock anymore. They just break your door in and come in. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, sure, that's fine. The Alito, Roberts, Scalia, Thomas Kennedy coalition. Yeah, sure, they can do whatever they want. They are the cops. We trust them. They are the cops. They don't need no warrant. We'll figure something out. There was a movie some years ago. And I was talking, actually, I was talking with Bob Kincaid about this, and about how they try to find illegal immigrants now, is that cops will just pull up to a work site. Anybody who runs, they go after. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, that's fine. You can do that. And I was thinking of an old movie many, many years ago in the 70s, I guess, when home video cameras were first possible, even though they were big, bulky things that you had to hook up to a VCR in the late 70s, early 80s, I guess. It was an 80s movie. And who was in the movie? Suzanne Pleshette and, the guy who was with Burt Reynolds in Smokey and the Bandit. I keep forgetting his name, too. And Jerry Reed, is that Jerry Reed? At any rate, they were playing like these cops. And, they were having trouble arresting people, I guess. And, and you see why at the beginning of the movie they see a black guy walking down the street with a tuba. And it's like, he can't afford no tuba. And they just go running after him. And it's like, that's what your evidence is? And the kid starts running, naturally. And since it's a movie, of course, the kid is, a terrorist drug dealer. No, I'm just kidding. But, the point is, that's the way the cops are now. And in fact, they had an episode recently in my old neighborhood of Bushwick, out in Brooklyn. Bob Herbert of the New York Times has been writing about that, where a bunch of black kids were going to a funeral for a friend, and because they were in a group, the cops just swarmed in on them and arrested them. They weren't doing anything. The witnesses said the kids weren't doing anything. They were going to the train station. Walking while black, ladies and gentlemen, is a new crime. Just like driving while black has been a crime for quite some time. And what was that, a while ago, back in the 80s, under Reagan's kind and loving administration, there was some conservative sheriff down in Florida who was basically pulling people over for BS violations like, changing lanes without signaling or something like that. And if they had any money in the car, they were just basically confiscating it. It's drug money. The dog sniffed drugs on it. Well, it's Florida, for crying out loud. Nearly every dollar bill or every anything over a 20, I would suppose, has passed through the hands of some drug dealer somewhere. But the point is, even after people who legitimately proved that the money was theirs, they never got their money back. The cops just stole it. But most of the people of Florida, the sheriff was an elected official, so the people of that kind, we like our sheriff. We like him so much. And of course, as Ray Hinckley is reminding us in the chat room, voting while black is also a crime. Can't be doing that. And it just goes to the fact that the Republicans in particular and conservatives in general, they only believe that certain people should vote. If you haven't earned the right to vote, you shouldn't be voting. And we determine what it means by earn, and basically what it means is if you don't kick our ass every 4 years, you're not going to be allowed to vote. Hang on a second. A drink of water there. And so, while enjoying my 4th of July thing, these things weren't running through my head. I was just concentrating on having a good time. But afterwards, this morning, after I awakened from being awake for, being asleep for 11 hours after being awake for 29 hours, that's when I really started thinking about this stuff. Because I was just kind of like blocking everything out, just trying to forget it. And that's what most people do. Most people, they have their own lives to deal with. They have their own issues. And I've got some to myself. My money situation is as bad as always. Even working full-time, I'm still having trouble making. A lot of people are in this situation. And it's very difficult to try to concentrate on other things when you're worried about just, where's your next meal coming from? Are you going to have a place to live in the next month? It's very hard to concentrate on that. I do it simply because it drives me crazy, and if I don't vent about it every day, or at least every other day, then I go a little nuts. There was a couple of news items. Now Carolyn Kay of MakeThemAccountable.com, who comes on my show every Friday, and hopefully she'll be with us this Friday. If there aren't technical issues, always something seems to always happen on Friday for some reason. It's like a black day. But every day I get her news from MakeThemAccountable.com, and she had a couple of issues. One was from Brent Berdowski from his website, and Brent was musing about whether or not Bush will pardon himself and Cheney. I don't know if he can pardon himself. I don't know if he can obviously pardon Cheney if he so desires. But you know, the Bush family has always used their pardons in ways to protect their own interests. And use them in ways that pardoning really shouldn't be used. Like the Christmas Eve pardons, a lot of those people, their trials hadn't even started yet. He just kind of issued a blanket pardon. And while there was some, you know, grumping and grumbling and moaning from a few people, for the most part, everybody said, well, let's all put it all behind us. And, of course, you know, Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, which I was, well, you know, it was a good thing to do because it helps the country heal, and Oz bad that. I mean, you just let the Republicans get away with it. You know, tough on crime, you know, what they mean is you know, we're going to keep the black people from intermixing with you, and we're going to make sure we're going to do everything we can to keep the brothers down. And I say that with a southern accent, even though there are just as many racists in the Northeast, and they just go about things a little differently. But my point is that just simply being black or being a non-Christian white in this country is in some way a little crime. You certainly can't be an atheist and run for office. I mean, you know, if you were black, you can get elected to, you can run for office and get elected because there are a lot of black people in this country. And they tend to shove them all in one neighborhood from time to time, you know, in a lot of dishes. But that's fine. So black people have still some representation. Women have a lot of representation in Congress and in the Senate. Now, finally, they've got a few women in there. And that's fine, and that's wonderful. You're an atheist? Forget about it. If you tell anyone you're an atheist or an agnostic, you couldn't get elected dog catcher in this country. In nearly any congressional district, in nearly any county, it simply doesn't exist. Because, you know, if there's something wrong with you if you don't believe in the invisible cloud person that lives in the sky, that's got superpowers, and as George Carlin says, who will hate you and destroy you, but he loves you. And even, you know, even religious lunatics get a lot more credibility than people who want to say, you know, maybe none of this makes any sense at all to me, so I choose not to believe it. No, you've got no credibility. You've got no credibility now. Anyway, it's a little early. Let's go to the bottom of the hour. I still got the news stories that I kind of want to talk about to do, and I'm just kind of rambling on today. If you want to give me a call, give me a call. Stop me from rambling. 1-304-658-5912. 1-304-658-5912. Call me up, damn it. Here's Puffy AmiYumi. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. One huge impediment to working families getting the universal national health care they want is the massive political spending and lobbying done by the health care industry. A report done by the California Nurses Association's Institute for Health and Socioeconomic Policy says the industry spent $2.2 billion on federal lobbying alone in the past 10 years. What does that money buy? It bought the health insurance industry a Medicare prescription drug benefit that forces seniors to go through private companies for their prescriptions while blocking the government's ability to negotiate lower prices. California Nurses Association President Deborah Berger says that lobbying money also blocks bills to protect patients from abuses, defeats greater public oversight of insurers, and prevents reimportation of less expensive prescription drugs from Canada. In the 2008 presidential election, the healthcare industry is spending millions of dollars on the candidates. The result is that healthcare industry profits are way up, while working families are struggling with medical debt, high prices, and inadequate or unaffordable health insurance. A month-long crippling public sector strike in South Africa came to an end on June 28th, with organized labor claiming victory. Jesse Russell reports.
The often heated strike by 700,000 workers across the nation of South Africa came to an end on June 28th when the Congress of South African Trade Unions accepted a final offer from the government, which included a 7.5% pay increase, a 10% increase to the housing allowance, and a 30% increase in the minimum wage. The union was originally seeking an increase of 12%, but the trade union general secretary, Zwelinzima Vabi, called the raise a success because it still represented progress and gains.
Bruce Rayner, Unite Here president and also president of the union-owned Amalgamated Bank, is joining activist Danny Glover in urging U.S. pension funds to invest in South Africa. Unite Here has billions of dollars invested in pension funds, with some being invested in South Africa. On Monday, minimum wage earners in Illinois received a big bump in their paychecks as that state's minimum wage went from $6.50 an hour to $7.50 an hour. The increase is the first of four annual increases, which will eventually see wages cap out at $8.25 for the minimum in Illinois in 2010. Nearly 310,000 Illinois workers will benefit from the wage increase. Jesse Russell has today's economic report.
The feds have stepped into the subprime mortgage crisis, setting rules that will make it more difficult for high-risk borrowers to qualify for loans. The move by federal banking regulators comes as many in the industry have been taking steps into their own hands as foreclosures and delinquencies increase. The new rules are intended to make sure that borrowers are informed of the facts, costs, and risks of borrowing.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show, just listening to the WINS news. I should have mentioned that while I was going out of the break there. WINS news is always very good. I like listening to their news. Always a good take on it. And, you know, I did read about the raise in the minimum wage here in Illinois. Because, you know, the states don't necessarily have to use the federal minimum wage if they don't want to. And what's the minimum wage? So like $5.75 an hour. And minimum wage in Illinois is now $7.50 an hour, which is pretty good. I barely make above that. I make $9.63 an hour, and I don't work full-time. So I need to... I'm looking for other work, and I'm trying to do other things. And, you know, hopefully I can start earning some more money so that I'm not so stressed out about it all the time. I don't need a lot, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not a greedy SOB. You know, I love to do the radio show, and I would love to make a living at the radio show, but I have no desire or need to make millions and millions of dollars. I don't want to go to a restaurant and lay out a $4,000 tip for somebody. And not that they don't deserve it, but my point is that I don't want to have so much money that, here's $10,000. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to deal with it, to be perfectly honest. Just let me pay my bills and pay my rent. I have actually a pretty low overhead. My biggest vice is eating out. That's my biggest vice. I'll order Chinese, and I'll spend $10-$15 on a Chinese deal. That'll be my big splurge. At any rate, you know, I was thinking about that, and since Illinois' minimum wage is already, I think, $6.50 an hour, a jump up from $6.50 to $7.50 an hour, $1 an hour, ladies and gentlemen, if you're working full time. Okay, assuming you're working full time. Before taxes is $40 a week, about $160 a month. After taxes, you're probably looking at another $100 a month, which can make a huge difference to a family. And another $100 or so a month would make a huge difference to me, I'd say that much. You know, if I were to go from $9.63 to $10.63 an hour. And what I get upset with my work is that sometimes I'll go, you know, and I've been doing a lot more detailed things lately. I mean, I don't do as much QCing as I should, but I've been trained for it, but I really don't do it. But I've been doing this complicated job from this other company that's a very specific job, and one of only really maybe three or four people who can actually do it. And, you know, I said, listen, do I get more money for this? I mean, this is an extra thing. And they just kind of laugh at you. And I'm like, come on, man. You know, why do we have to go through this? Why do we need to go through this? You want me to do more. You should pay me more. But, you know, you put up with it because the alternative is not to have anything. But anyway, good for Illinois for doing that. Governor Blag Davidovich, I can't even pronounce that name. B-Rod, they call him. And he did very good with that. He's a Democrat. He's a conservative Democrat, I guess you could say. But he understands, especially around Chicago. Chicago is an extremely, extremely liberal town. Well, this is Ray Hinckley talking about, he was watching a segment on today on camping. Glamorous camping for $7,000 a night. $7,000 a night? Good God! What do you, Ray? What do you get for $7,000 a night outdoors like that? That you couldn't get pitching a tent somewhere. You know, that's interesting because, you know, I don't know what extra, if you want that much luxury, why are you going out camping? What the hell is up with that? Why are you bothering to go out camping? I mean, you can go, you know, and to be quite honest, you can go out there, and I've been to, because I had to get an air mattress to sleep on because I don't have a bed, and I got an air mattress for $25 that comes with its own little battery-powered air pump, and there were air mattresses there that were like $70, $80 that looked a lot more comfortable than what I have, and this one is pretty comfortable, and you can get a tent, and you can bring it, you know, you can bring the whole thing, and you can be pretty damn comfortable out there in the woods, assuming that you don't get a leak in your air mattress, you know. Maybe you lay down a blanket underneath it or something to keep whatever twigs and stuff from poking in there. But the point is that you can be pretty luxurious out there in the woods without having to spend $7,000 to do it. And who are the people who, you know, and what kind of money do these people make that they can do that? And what do they do for a living that allows them? Probably a hedge fund expert or something. $7,000 a night. Yeah. Hey, if you want to call in, let me. I'm not taking a break, Bob. I'm just giving out the number, and it's a little too early for a break anyway. 1-304-658-5912. 1-304-658-5912. And I'm just kind of talking today. I've got. I don't want to say no energy, but I've got low energy, so I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of going with the flow, man. I'm kind of going with the mood. What was it? There was the old joke. How many Californians does it take to screw in a light bulb? And it's like it was like five, and one to screw it in, and five to share the experience, man. Let me tell the stupid joke. My roommate's friend told this joke, and it was about a couple of guys who were Catholics, and they wanted to be priests when they were kids, and they were close friends growing up. One was an Irish guy named Mike Murphy, nice guy, and the other guy was a guy named Joe Sicola. And they went through seminary school together. They had a long friendship, and then they worked their way up the hierarchy in the Vatican hierarchy in the Catholic organization. And they become cardinals, and finally, you know, they get to a point where a pope passes away, and they're choosing a new pope, and then these two were basically, and Mr. Sicola was really the most ambitious, the most qualified, hardest working, but when it came time to pick the pope, they picked Cardinal Murphy. And Mr. Sicola was upset with this. He said, "Why did you pick Mr. Murphy?" I mean, and I'm saying this humbly because, you know, I know it's vain to want the position, but, you know, why did you pick him over me? What was there deficient in me? He said, "Well, there was absolutely nothing deficient about you. You're perfect in every way. But the problem is we couldn't have a Pope Sicola." Pope Sicola. Ray said he heard that joke in 1965. I was 3 years old in 1965, Ray. So if you had told it to me, I wouldn't have understood. Popsicola. Popsicola. It's a stupid joke, and I'm sorry. I love stupid jokes like that. What was it, George Carlin, when he told a bad pun and everybody in the audience started moaning? He says, I know why you're moaning. I know why you're moaning. It's because you didn't think of it yourself. That's why. I just had to tell that. That was stupid. Here, try to lighten the mood up here a little bit. You get so depressed reading the news, for Christ's sake. You got to lighten stuff up. That's why I love watching The Daily Show, because The Daily Show is so good at making you laugh about something that's so serious. Excuse me. Oh, my goodness. This is one of those days where I wish I had somebody to talk to. I'm just kind of meandering here. Well, there were a lot of, again, there were so many news items that I just couldn't put my finger. Let me start talking about this other one. I was going to do it after the break, but let's start talking. This was another thing from Carol Kay, and it's an article by Iain Thompson, IAIN, I'm thinking Iain or Ian maybe, at VNUnet.com, and it's about how the Federal Trade Commission has decided to abandon net neutrality and allow telecom companies to charge websites for access. Now, again, I'm going to read this with a grain of salt, ladies and gentlemen, because I haven't had yet time to confirm it. But I just want to use, and I'm not saying that it's fact and that it's going to happen and that we should all, start pounding our heads on the wall, because, the end of net neutrality would pretty much mean the end of the head-on network of a lot of good things about websites right now. But let me read you some of the article here. It said the FCC said in a report that despite popular support for net neutrality, it was minded to let the market sort out the issue. This means that the organization will not stand in the way of companies using different pricing to make sure that some websites can be viewed more quickly than others. The report also counsels against net neutrality legislation. This report recommends that policymakers proceed with caution in the evolving dynamic industry of the broadband internet access, which is generally moving towards more, not less, competition, FCC Chairman Deborah Platt Majoras wrote. In the absence of significant market failure or demonstrated consumer harm, policymakers should be particularly hesitant to enact new regulation in this area. Now, that's really rather kind of a vague statement, so I'm not sure if what Mr. Thompson is saying is being, if he's reading into that a little more. I really, I understand what's going on here, and I'm worried that it might happen. And I really think, and the truth of the matter is, and Al Gore talked about this in his book, about how the net is since the printing press, then the internet, which is still in its embryonic state, we think it's really big now, but it really still hasn't reached anywhere near its potential. But it is potentially the greatest tool that people have ever had to communicate with each other. I mean, the printing press was wonderful because it allowed people who didn't normally have access to certain types of knowledge to get it, because it allowed you to print a lot more books and distribute them a lot more widely. Before that, and you don't even think about this, but think about having to have a book written by hand. You wanted to make a copy of it, you had to go to a place where they literally had to write out a copy by hand. That's an enormous amount of work. And, of course, therefore, cost a lot of money. So only the very, very rich could afford to have books. But with the printing press, it made the books a lot cheaper. And it brought about, according to Al Gore, the Enlightenment and eventually the American Revolution. And, of course, naturally, in America, we valued literacy. So later on, certainly when more liberal people, took over the government, we wanted to make sure that people could read. So we set up a school system and a public school system that made sure everybody had the fundamentals of what you needed. And reading and writing and arithmetic, right? And we all thought they're very boring. But you know what? Obviously, being able to read, being able to write, and being able to do basic math is an extremely important part of living in our society. Nobody liked school. Well, a few people liked school, but you know what I'm saying. But the internet has changed a lot of things, and they're afraid of it. The powers that be, without the internet, how much would we know about what's going on in the Bush administration? A lot of us would suspect a lot, but how can we be really sure? because it's only through the internet that a lot of this stuff has come to light. Without the internet, you know, we'd still be taking these Washington pundits at their word. We might actually believe that David Broder is the voice of the people, which he is not. He's the voice of a Washington cultural elite that has been running this country for about 25 years and who can't stand anybody who's not in their little club, like Bill Clinton coming in. You know, he came in and trashed the place, and it's not his place, David Broder said. David Broder thinks it's his place. It's not his place. It's my place. It's Bob Kincaid's place. It's our place. It's our place. And it's my place to go ahead and take our last break here. We'll go ahead and do that. If you want to call in, it's your last chance. The number to call in is 1-304-658-5912. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Advertising on the Cup of Joe Radio Show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe Show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's CUPJOE.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, CUPJOE.com, and let internet radio ads work for you.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Just listening to the music. Just kind of chilling. Just a Gigolo. I love that song. I'm not necessarily a big fan of David Lee Roth. Although he was okay when he was with Van Halen, but that, I like that song, and I love the video for that song. You ever see to those of you who are kids in the '80s, who are at least younger than I am, in the '80s, and watch videos regularly, Suggest a Gigolo video is really, really kind of a cute thing where he's going around to different, making fun of different artists, kind of in a nice way. In a nice way. Again, I'm really kind of low key today. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, my name is Joe Vecchio, and I am the voice of the working man, stinking man. And I'm just kind of like, it's a post 4th of July. I had a lot of food yesterday, and actually, I'm hungry again today, and I'm probably going to have to order something out because I don't think I'm going to have time to go out and get something cheaper. But you know, even you know, and the truth is, even when you're single, even eating out sometimes can be cheaper than eating in. You can buy some sort of meal for like $5. You can go on for $5 a day, really. But we've just been telling bad jokes in the chat room there. Head on RadioNetwork.com, click on live chat, and click on the live chat thing underneath it, and you can get right in there and tell your own bad joke. I told one of my favorite ones. It was from a book called A Jest in Pun by Bill Keane, the guy who did his family circus. And it was like, well, the doctor told me to drink some lemon juice after a hot bath in order to cure my cold. So did you drink the lemon juice? I haven't finished drinking the hot bath yet. Ba-dum-tsh. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be here all day. Oh, my. With all the bad news going on, you know, all the mean, nasty things that are happening, sometimes it's nice to just forget all about that and tell a joke or two. But that doesn't diminish the seriousness of all the things that are going on. You know, and you just kind of stress out over all the things that happen. And, you know, sometimes just laugh and change just things. And if you look at the Bush people, if you look at Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney, and all the people who, you know, who thrive on getting power and getting money and everything that comes with it, look at the only time that they laugh. They never really seem to have a good, just plain, you know, from the heart laugh. They're always, it's always a laughter kind of based upon, I have power over you laugh, you know. The laugh that a bully might have after while three of his guys are holding you down and he's kicking you. The little Cheney's little sneer. Well, I don't know what he thinks, but I can do whatever I want. I'm the fourth branch of the government. You wish, you know, and you wonder if they ever did really have just one of those laughs. If maybe they just kind of change, they would change a little bit and see things in a different way. And of course, you know, for the Republicans and conservatives, they have a lot of problems with sexual repression. And because they're not getting enough good sex, what did Roseanne say in a show once about a really snotty next door neighbor? She said you couldn't pull a needle out of her butt with an elephant, you know. And that's really true. A lot of these guys. And all the, you know, and because of that, they go out and they have to do something to compensate for it. And usually what they do is they wind up killing a lot of other people, which is not a good thing. I want a better world, ladies and gentlemen. I want a better world. And I want a world that's good for everybody. And I, you know, and even including guys like George Bush. You know what? You know, I'm happy to let them be a bunch of racist jerks. And to be an obnoxious a-hole. I'm happy to let them be that way. Just keep them out of power. Avedon Carroll of the Sideshow made a very interesting point. She was talking about impeachment. And impeachment is more than just removing someone from office. I haven't read it in detail yet, but if I remember correctly, you can also impeach somebody after the fact to prevent them from holding any office ever again. So it's not like, you know, you can almost get to a point where it's a not just get out, but get out and stay out. Get out and stay out. And that's what we maybe really need to do. Not just with Bush and all these other guys, but let's just start going ahead and impeaching everybody that's in the Republican administration. It's a pity you can't impeach a Supreme Court justice. Because we need to get rid of the Gang of Five that's basically, you know, talk about activist judges, you know, retrofitting the laws to back in the days, in the grand old glorious days when we had slaves and the slaves knew their place. And we got four slave owners and one house slave. What is it that Harry Belafonte called Colin Powell a house slave? That's not the word he used, but you know what I'm saying, a house slave. A slave who's given some authority over other slaves, and they get a little bit more, so they do master's will. That's what Colin Powell is. That's certainly what Clarence Thomas is, or Buckwheat as I call him. Just carrying water. And of course, Thomas makes a lot of money now, and he's considered, even though he's probably one of the worst Supreme Court justices we've ever had, he doesn't care. He got his, and now he's pulling the ladder up on everybody else. A middleman, Ray is a slave master. A middleman. A buffa. Yeah, the family's got lots of buffas. It's a crime organization. And slavery, slavery is a big aspect of being a crime organization, because it's people working for them that don't get recompensed properly. Anyway. Will Bush pardon himself? Can Bush pardon himself? Will it matter if he tries? And that's the thing that we all talk about. And that's what makes things really frustrating. When they make these ridiculous, outrageous statements like, the vice president isn't part of the executive branch, what are we going to do about it? When they go out and pardon a guy who is clearly not only guilty, but guilty of treasonous behavior. And worse than treasonous, dangerous behavior. When they just say, well, he's a friend of mine, and I thought it was over excessive, even though, the judge didn't really have any much leeway in making the sentence. What does that say? It says the law is not the law for them, that they are above it. That's what they believe. That's what they believe for a long time. And what are we going to do about it? That's what I want to know. I mean, let's just say we go through, we even manage to go through the whole spiel and we impeach them and then we get them voted out of office. Would they leave? Would they find some way to drag it out? Would they take it to the Supreme Court? Just do everything they could to stay? 70% of the people would love to see him gone, I would imagine. I think it's over 50% now who would literally want Mr. Bush impeached, if you ask a poll. But just remember, ladies and gentlemen, that for as far as Mr. Bush is concerned, and far as the whole Washington establishment is concerned, it's okay if you're a Republican. Republicans can do anything they want. And I'm going to do anything I want right now, and anything I want involves wrapping up the show. I'm sorry that I just kind of went on a ramble today, and sometimes I do that. I'm just kind of low-key, low-energy. I want to get fired up about stuff, but I'm just too mellowed out after all that good time I had yesterday. See what happens? See what happens when you're a human being and you have a good time? Let's go ahead and head out. Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network, our good friend Bob Kincaid, running the show over in the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. America back on track with Sony Teton. Excuse me. There's a Freudian slip for you. America back on track with Tony Seton follows on most of your Head On Radio Network stations. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio saying, hey, get back to work.
The creamer of steam, how many more does that leave? Give me a pot of scotch, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of dick, that'll do. We trickle to the carafe of mash upon a tray of red.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Unlikely to change anytime in the next 100 billion years or so, and as we don't have another planet to skip off to anyway, who cares? Maybe they should investigate and research stuff that really does matter, like what do we do about nuclear waste, or how do we clean the all that crap that we've been dumping into the oceans out of the oceans? Roman Catholic bishops in Britain are up in arms trying to get legal protection for animal-human embryos. Yes, I read that right. Scientists are working with hybrid human and animal embryos to better study human disease. The British Parliament is considering legislation that would require these embryos to be destroyed within 14 days and prohibit them from being implanted in a woman's womb. If she would want that, Hey, science has its limits, or so we'd think, but the bishops, and I'm not making this up, want to protect the human rights of these embryos. They say that the embryos created by humans should be allowed to be implanted in the mother or co-mother of the zygote, and that the women who wanted to could keep the part animal, part human embryos to term. They're not worried, apparently, about a sudden crop of new offspring named Bossy, Rover, or Furball. Okay, thank God it's Thursday, right? Coming up in 2 minutes and a bunch of seconds, Mark Jerkowitz from the Project for Excellence in Journalism is going to be joining us. In our second half hour, Kelly Jolkowski of Project Jason will be with us. A reminder that anytime you have questions about whom we're speaking with and want more information from them, go to QNNAmerica.com and you'll find links. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation.